I want to talk today about the good news of Christmas. And because the Christmas story is captured in several places in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapters 1 and 2, and of course, because it is fulfilling scripture, it is all through the Old Testament. We want to talk about this good news of Christmas because you and I need to be able to, one, celebrate it and also convey it unto others. Amen? The good news of Christmas. The Christmas story rescues us from lethargy and complacency, and it brings us into the reality that all good things do not come when the conditions are ideal. Amen? Christmas story delivers us from the misconception born from false narratives and misleading and unvetted information disseminated through the various forms of media that we consume. Christmas story reminds us that God loves his creation and is fully committed to his plan of redemption. The Christmas story helps you and me see the truth of who God is, that his plans are perfect, that his purposes endure, and that his provision is without limit, that his power is unstoppable. That's the Christmas story. The Christmas story reminds us that you and I cannot just judge by what we see with our eyes nor hear with our ears, but that we must come to understand that the God that we serve is always at work even when we don't see it. Ooh, that's good news. That's the good news of Christmas, because it reminds us that God watches over his plan and his purposes to make sure that it is fulfilled just as he said it would be. The Christmas story reminds us, it reminds you and me, that there is no plan of man, no strategy of the enemy that can thwart or stop the move of God, nor limit his ability to fulfill his purposes. I don't know about you, but when I think about Christmas and the fact that Jesus came, and it was an illustration, a demonstration, and the start of God's plan of redemption expressed in humanity, I get excited. Because it was in the middle of a time of confusion, in the middle of a time of silence, that God showed up. For those who did not realize he had been working, he reveals himself and reveals his plan to those who are willing to see it and receive it. The Christmas story is a reminder to you and me that even though man did not walk perfectly in obedience to God's instructions, that God did not revoke man's privileges, that he chose that he would work through humanity. The Christmas story reminds you and me that God had said that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but that he would work through men, through humanity. The Christmas story reminds you and me that even though we failed him, God yet chooses to use us. Oh, that's good news for you and me, because if you're like me, you're not perfect. Amen. If you're like me, you make mistakes. Amen. If you're like me, you mess up. Amen. If you're like me, sometimes I don't fully do all that God has told me to do in the time that he told me to do it, in the way that he told me to do it. And I'm so thankful that Christmas, the Christmas story reminds me that yet in it, he can still redeem and fulfill his purposes. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's good news, because the Christmas story then moves the burden from me and puts it on Jesus. Removes the burden of me being perfect, removes the burden of me trying to do it in my own strength, and it puts it on Jesus. For it says, in God's provision, when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. With God's provision, his grace is sufficient to keep me and sustain me. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that is an introduction to the coming of a Savior to the world. In Genesis chapter 3, we read about the fall of mankind. It was that place where God had placed the man and the woman that he created in the garden that he created that was good, and had given them instructions and told them that they were free to eat from every tree that was in the garden, but not to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. He restricted only one tree from them, but as you know, there was a serpent that came and began having a discussion with the woman Eve in the garden, and as a result of that, she ended up walking in disobedience and eating from the tree that God told her not to eat from. Not just her, but the man, her husband, who was with her, also ate from the tree, and it resulted in what we know as the fall of mankind. That means that out of that came the removal of the man and woman from the good place where God had placed them. They were driven out of the garden, and there was this enmity that was set up between the enemy of God and his offsprings and the enemy of the enemy. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you read the words that were given to the serpent spoken by God because of his action against God's creation. He said to the serpent, he said that I am going to put enmity between you and the woman, and between her offspring or her seed and yours. And get this, God says that he will crush your head while you, as he is talking to the serpent, will strike his heel. Talks about an ongoing, lifelong, eternal battle. Not eternal, because it's going to end. A lifelong battle between the children of God and the serpent, or the enemy, or the devil as we know him. That he is going to constantly be striking at the heels of humanity. But God says that I am going to have the seed of the woman that will crush the head of the serpent. That promise that was made in Genesis 3:15 is fulfilled in the New Testament through the person of Jesus Christ. When the seed of the woman who comes to Mary as a virgin, in the person of Jesus, that represents God fulfilling his promise. And thanks be to God, he was patient enough to wait, because Jesus would be born, and as you know, he would live for about 33 years. And at the end of his life, he surrenders his life only to take it back up again. And when he dies on a cross, what you and I see is the literal crushing of the head of the enemy. What you and I see when Jesus dies on the cross is him saying, all that mankind has suffered, all their sins have been paid for. There is no longer any wrath or enmity between man and God. There is no longer separation between man and God, because what Jesus did on the cross was he allowed for us to be reconciled back to God, saying that you are now in right relationship with him. Jesus crushes the head of the enemy, saying you no longer have power, because they are no longer under the power of sin. It has been defeated. And then what you and I see is on the third day, when he rises again to take his life back up again, we see our victory expressed in the person of Jesus Christ, who conquers death, hell, and the grave. And all of this began with the good news of Christmas. Amen. You cannot have Easter or Sunday resurrection without Christmas Day. Amen. If there is no Jesus that comes into the world, if there is not that one who comes who is without sin, if there is not that one who comes and walks among men in a sinless fashion, if it is not him who comes, the very Lamb of the world, you and I cannot have victory over sin nor over death. So, brothers and sisters, I tell you that when you start to read the story about the good news of Christmas, you need to get excited, because it points you to a place that says that this was God fulfilling his purposes and his plans for humanity and showing his way for you and for me. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 1. And let's listen as the writer tells about the birth of Jesus Christ. Beginning in about verse number 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, you and I discover yet even more about the birth of Jesus. So in the story, you see that Mary is pregnant. both she and Joseph are engaged to be married. But before the marriage takes place, Mary is pregnant. And she has conceived this child by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, as the text just told us, is a righteous man. And it was not his desire to dishonor nor disgrace Mary. And so it was his intent to divorce her quietly without any scene associated with it. He knew that he was not the father, but yet he did not want to disgrace her, nor demean her, nor be mean to her, nor reject her as he did, but he felt compelled, because he was a righteous man, to put her away. However, as the scripture plainly states, the Spirit of the Lord came and spoke to him and told him that the same story that Mary told him was true. Because when Joseph saw Mary in about her 6th month of pregnancy, he looked at her and said, "What happened? You went to see your cousin Elizabeth, and this is what you come back looking like? What's going on?" And she says, "Let me explain." "I'm listening." "One night when I was by myself, there was a messenger who came to visit me. And he said to me in the strangest greetings, he said, 'Blessed you are who are highly favored.' I wasn't sure what to make of it. And so I let him continue on. And he said, 'You found favor with God, and you're going to conceive and have a son.'" She said, "I'm baffled by this because I know that you and I have not been intimate with one another. And so I'm wondering, how is all of this going to take place?" And he says, "The Holy Spirit himself will come up on you, will overshadow you, such that you will conceive. And the child that you conceive will be called the Son of the Most High God." I'm not understanding what he's saying, but because of the glory that filled the room, I just found myself there willing to accept what he said. Because there was something about the way he said it. It was something about his presence that simply emanated truth that I couldn't deny. You know how it is, right? Because when angels leave from heaven's throne, they bring heaven's presence with them. So then you can identify the holiness in which they come. That's how you and I can identify angels from demons. Amen. She says, and so I'm there and I say to him, "Okay. All my life I've been committed to God. I've been his servant and I'm not going to change now. And even though what he's telling me seems to be unbelievable and difficult and is going to change my life drastically, I'm not going to change now." She says, "Therefore I said to him, 'Well, I am the Lord's servant. I don't understand what you talk about, but I'm still the Lord's servant. Let it be to me just as you said it would be.'" And she said, "And when he left, something happened. I had this unction then to go and see my cousin Elizabeth. And when I got there, I discovered that what had happened to me, she already knew about it. Because she greeted me and she said to me, "To what do I owe the pleasure of this visit? Why have you, the mother of my Lord, come to see me?" And then, get this, Joe, get this. You remember that Elizabeth had, her and Zach had been trying all their lives to have a baby. And when I get there, it was just what the angel told me, because he told me that that Elizabeth was pregnant, and that's what made me want to go. When I got there, I'm like looking and look, oh my. And then she said, this is what Elizabeth said. She said, "The moment that I heard your voice, the baby that's inside of me started jumping and dancing at your voice." Yes. Got excited because he heard your voice. And so I just spent some time with Elizabeth because we were experiencing something phenomenal. Joe said, "Yeah, okay." "I hear you. And I see you. But I'm not quite sure what to make of this." So Joseph says, "Give me some time. Give me some time to think on this and to meditate on this." So Joe goes home, and when he lays down to rest, he has a dream. And in the dream, the angel begins to tell Joe what Mary had said. Mary told Joe what the angel had told her. The angel told Mary what God had given her to say. And so you have a message coming from heaven through an angel to a woman, then going to a man, and the man saying, "I'm not sure what to make of all of this." So then when he lays down to sleep, God then sends confirmation of the message that he had. Ooh, did you grab that? God sends confirmation of the message that he had sent from heaven to the woman, to the man, in which the man was thinking about. Don't you love how God confirms his word? Don't you love? See, this is the good news of Christmas, because it shows us how God is working in the middle of our circumstances. It shows how God is taking simple people and saying that I will use those who are committed to me, who are willing to walk in obedience to me. You ain't got to be perfect. You just got to be willing to walk in obedience to him. He can take your imperfection and he will fix it. As a matter of fact, when you put your imperfection in God's hand, he'll show you how he can take a crooked stick. Yeah. He'll show you. And that's what is happening in the Christmas story, is God is taking human beings, because he has said that he will continue to use you and me, people just like us, to carry out his mission upon the earth. And what it requires is that you and I respond in a positive manner to the message that he has given to us. It requires that you and I walk in faith to what he has called us to do. It requires that you and I be bold enough to sometimes look ridiculous and strange for him, so that he can manifest himself and have his way. Mary was willing to put her life on the line, her reputation on the line, all because she believed the message that the angel brought to her. And as a result of that, she then is remembered and called blessed by generation after generation after generation. And her obedience then helps us then to receive the promised gift of a Messiah, of a Redeemer, of a Savior who comes into the world. It's God's purposes that endures, God's plan that is perfect. It is His perfect plan that is being worked out in human history as He is revealed. When Joseph receives the message from heaven, in the same way that Mary responded in obedience to the message that she had received by surrendering herself and saying, use me, Joseph likewise surrenders and he responds in obedience, because the Bible says that when Joseph woke up, he did the very thing the angel had told him to do. While his may be a lesser role, his is an extremely important role. And God, in His perfect planning, has already set up this man with this woman to be the caretakers, to be the ones who would be the earthly guardians of His beloved son. Joseph, being a righteous man, not just a righteous man, but also a man of the line of David, because the promised Messiah, the anointed one, would have to come through the line of David. Joseph, being a man in that line, but also Mary, listen, God ain't gonna miss with this one. He's got every detail covered. And brothers and sisters, here's the good news of Christmas. In your life, what you need to know is that Christmas reminds you and me that God has every detail covered. I'll get all excited about that one all by myself. That there is no area of your life which God has missed. Just because you think He's missed it doesn't mean that He's missed it. Just because you don't see how He's going to work out that thing that you thought was so bad doesn't mean that He ain't going to work it out. Because the scripture is true that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purposes. All things means all things. And just because you and I cannot see what God is doing does not mean that He's not doing something. And what you and I need to know is that God can take bad situations, redeem them, and work them for your favor. That's what the Christmas story reminds you and me of. It's the good news about the salvation of God, introduced into humanity by the man Jesus Christ, who would come and give His life as a ransom for many, that you and I might live. That's good news. Good news. No matter what's going on in the political climate, God already has it taken into the equation. He's going to use everything to His glory to bring about His purposes. When you look at the Christmas story, you see the unfolding of God's magnificent works in such ways that all you can do is drop your mouth and say, wow, is that not amazing or what? Watch this. There's a political person in power. The Romans are in power right now. And so now this man calls, he wants to have a census done of all the people. Back in those days, they didn't have people going around knocking on doors or sending emails saying, okay, give me your information. Back in those days, what had to happen is folks would have to go back to the hometown from which their lineage began, and they would have to register. So this man calls this for this census at this time. It is not by accident that it happens, because now Joseph has to go leave Nazareth to go to Bethlehem, which was his place of registration that he had to go and register. And so now, because this census has been issued, he takes Mary, who was to become his wife, and they leave Nazareth and leave for Bethlehem. For it is out of Bethlehem, out of the house of bread, that the bread of life is to be born. And so they go at the unctioning of the political power at that time to fulfill the mission and goal and purposes of God Almighty. When they get there, what they discover is that the town has become flooded with out-of-towners. There are so many visitors, as you know, that they did not call ahead. They didn't use Priceline. They were not able to get a room booked. When they get there, what they discover is that there are no available rooms in any of the living establishments. So they end up, when Mary delivers baby Jesus, because there, as the Bible says in just one simple sentence, there was no room in the inn, in the hotel, that she had to give birth to him in the lowest of all places, what appears to be a stable or where they kept the animals. She took him when he was born and placed him in a feeding trough, a manger that had been filled with hay for comfort. Again, this is not by accident. And when you begin to look at how all of the ingredients and the pieces of the puzzle come together, it ought to get you excited about God's perfect provision, God's perfect planning, the fact that his purpose endures, and the fact that there is nothing that humanity, nothing that the devil's strategy can do to stop God's move. That's good news for you and me, because when God has called you, when God has added purpose to your life, in which he has, that means that no matter what you're going through, God is going to use it for your benefit to bring you to the place where he wants you to be. Why? Because what he has started in you and me, he has promised that he will see it to completion. Christmas story, the good news of Christmas, reminds us that God is always at work and he always has the pieces in place to fulfill his mission. And so it is when Jesus is born. There are a group of shepherds who are out watching over their flocks, who receive a message from angels in heaven to tell them about the good news of Christmas. The angel says to them, listen, today, in the city of David, in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born for you. And here was the good news. Not just for you, but for all people. It says that when you go into the town, you will find a baby that has been wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. And while the angel was communicating his message, all of heaven seemed to open up, because it says there was a host of heavenly beings that showed up and said, glory to God and the highest. And then they said, and peace to whom his favor rests. Peace to all upon whom his favor rests. And when the angels had then been removed, when they had disappeared, the shepherds said, listen, let's go see this thing that they told us about. Brothers and sisters, they found Jesus just as the angels had proclaimed to them. They were there and they found the baby wrapped in cloths, and they discovered that today, something magnificent has happened. It was the good news of Christmas. It was the demonstration of God's love to humanity. For what, before Jesus was conceived, the angel told Mary, you are to give him the name Jesus. He said that he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. In his dream, the angel tells Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then he also said to him, he is to be called Emmanuel, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that says, and the virgin will be with child, and they will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So Jesus then is the invisible, is the image of the invisible God who shows up in manifest fashion for you and for me. He is the one who will be great and who will also be called the Son of the Most High God. But even better than that, he is the one who will save his people from their sins. So Jesus comes, and he comes with a name that is above every name. That's the good news of Christmas. He has a name that is filled with power, that even at his birth, the angels come to celebrate and to worship. He has a name that is filled with power, and when he shows up, the animals have enough sense to come and bow down at his feet. Oh, he has a name that even at his birth, it was necessary to hang a star in the sky so that the wise men could find out where this baby lay. Jesus comes with a name that is filled with power, that is to be exalted above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He comes with a name that surpasses all names. And that when you and I use that name, that is the name that will make demons tremble, because it is at the name of Jesus that everything that was called into being came into being. For in him all things were created, and by him they were created, and for him they were created. And therefore, because he created all things, he is large and in charge, and he is the boss of all things. Oh, the good news of Christmas is that there was one who came, who died for you and for me, that you and I might have life and we might have the freedom to use his name. Oh, that's good news. That's good news, that I can now use the name of Jesus, the one who saves. I can use the name of Jesus, the one who delivers. I can use the name of Jesus, the one who rescues. I can use the name of Jesus, the one who can speak to my situation. And because he has all power, he can change the circumstances so that the purposes, so that the plan of God can be fulfilled for you and for me. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's the good news of Christmas. That there was nothing that would stop God's love from sending his son to come to redeem mankind. That there was nothing that would stop his love from sending his son to redeem mankind, there is nothing that can stop his love from keeping and saving you and me today. Christmas, the Christmas story, is the reminder that our God is a loving God, that our God is a God who forgives, that our God is a God who has provision, that our God gives us the best gift that could ever be given, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ. That when you are lonely, he says, I'll be a friend for you. Yeah. When you are in despair and when you are grieving, he says, I will comfort you. When you are broken and wounded, he says, I will mend you back together again. Listen, when sickness comes to visit your door, he says, don't worry, I'll be your healer. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. That's good news. He says, it does not matter what the sickness nor the disease might be, for he says, I have demonstrated that I have the power to open the eyes of the blind, that I have the power to make the lame walk, that I have the power to take leprosy and cleanse those who thought they had no hope. He says that I have the power. The good news of Christmas is that in Jesus, you and I have all that we need. If you find that you are without resources, what you discover is that in Jesus, you have all you need, for he has said that he will meet all of our needs according to his riches. He is a well that never runs dry. And in him, we have all that we need. Said, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. If you want God's favor to rest on you, you've got to receive the gift of Jesus. Amen. His favor. As some have said, it ain't fair, but the show is good. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm not looking for fairness. Amen. I'm not looking for fairness. What I'm looking for is his favor. And if you and I want his favor, all you and I have to do is kind of just latch on to and hold on to Jesus. What you and I have to do is embrace Jesus, embrace him for who he is, embrace him for what he has done, and receive from him all that he has to offer. Acknowledge that he is indeed the child born to a virgin, that he is indeed the Son of the living God, that he did indeed come to live a sinless life, that he did indeed surrender that sinless life into the hands of wicked men, that they might kill him, and that on the third day he rose from the dead with all power in his hands. He says that when you receive Jesus, when you acknowledge him as Lord, when you surrender yourself to him, then the favor of God will rest upon you. If you've got God's favor, let me just say this, you don't need anything else. Because if God is on your side, he is more than the whole world against you. If you got God's favor, you don't need anybody else's favor, because God has a way of speaking into the ears of men. He has a way of speaking into the hearts of men, and they will do what God wants them to do on your behalf. Why? Because you've got favor. That means that you ain't got to turn flips trying to please nobody. You ain't got to change what you do to please anybody. All you got to do is please him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And he says all that other stuff that you need will be added unto you. Don't compromise who you are to please men. Move yourself to please God and win his favor, and then he will give you favor with men. Because if you've got God's favor, you've got all that you need. And the good news of Christmas is God says, I make my favor available through you, to you, through the person of Jesus Christ. And if you will just receive him, if you will just accept him, if you will just allow him to be Lord over your life, then you have my favor. And everything that I have purposed for your life will be fulfilled. You will reach your designed destiny. You, through your life, will bring glory and honor to his great name. Good news of Christmas is that God loves us. Good news of Christmas is that God's purposes endure. Good news of Christmas is that God's plan is perfect. Good news of Christmas is that God's power prevails. God's power prevails. Amen. Amen. Can you just give God a hand clap of praise for his wonderful gift, his provision, for what he has done? Amen. Amen. Amen.